Lay a kiss upon my mouth, by the Vorpal sword. Read by Cookie Mom 6067. 1. The first time Joe asked Nikki to run away with him, it's only been a week since they got engaged. Home once more in their own bedroom. The summer season, a riot of heat and humidity outside, doesn't stand a chance against Joe's cooling charms. He always makes sure to cast them at least an hour before they crawl into bed together. Joe's hot-natured, and the magic is imperative if Joe wants to cleave to Nikki at night, as he always does, pressing against each other like spoons in a drawer. "Will you run away with me?" Joe asks, his lips pressed against the nape of Nikki's neck. His beloved chuckles sleepily. "We got engaged a week ago." "I know. Want to run away with me anyway?" Nikki turns over in Joe's arms, so they're facing each other. He places a gentle, broad palm against the side of Joe's face, thumb brushing ever so softly along his bottom lip. Joe can feel his calluses from Quidditch catch ever so gently on his skin. It's a heady sensation he's never gotten used to. "You have been planning your wedding since you were 5, Nikki starts, while Joe gasps in affront. "Excuse you, I was 7. And if I called Miriam right now, she'd tell me, 'Excuse you, I was 4. Joe immediately corrects himself without so much as a single ounce of shame. Nikki just starts laughing quietly, sneaking in closer to Joe under the covers so that his face is tucked up underneath Joe's chin. "You've been dreaming about this your whole life, Yusuf, and we're going to fulfill as many of 4-year-old Joe's dreams as we can." Joe wraps his arms around Nikki and presses a kiss to his forehead. "We already are," Joe whispers, and he can feel Nikki smile in response. They lay there, tangled together for a moment, their hearts beating in concert. Joe sighs. "I just worry. Tunisian weddings can be a lot sometimes, and I don't want you to be uncomfortable at our wedding." "I'm sure there's going to be moments where we both are uncomfortable or anxious, Joe," Nikki replies. "Weddings are full of all kinds of things, but I don't have to be protected or shielded from this. I agreed to marry you. I want to marry you, and all that comes with that. But, no buts, Yusuf. However, that's just a fancy but." "You're just a fancy but," Joe mutters into Nikki's hair, making the other man shake with laughter again. Nikki pushes up onto his elbow so he can lean over Joe, moving so he can sling one leg to Joe's other side, straddling his hips. The blanket drapes over his back like a cape as he rises, hands pressed flat against Joe's chest, a vision of silver blue in the moonlight spilling through their bedroom window. He glows in it. It lovingly gilts the edges of his hair, makes his eyes shine like polished sickles, and turns him into a magical creature of legend. He takes Joe's breath away. "We're worth it," Nikki assures him. "Because it's not just you, Joe. It's both of us. We're getting married, you and me. And we are worth whatever fantastical thing you have been planning and dreaming about since you were 4. Joe sits up and kisses his fiancée. There's no helping it. Nikki is north, and he is iron. "I love you," Joe says against his love's mouth. "I love you too," Nikki replies. "We're going to be married." "Yes, we are. I can't wait." Nikki smiles and leans down to cover his fiancée's face and kisses. "Me neither." 2. The second time Joe asked Nikki to run away with him, it's been over a year since they got engaged. Joe's hip-deep in a crisis of his fashion line. The fall-winter season is in peril, and he's up at 3 a.m. frantically coordinating with Tokyo, NYC, and Sydney to rectify this utter cock-up. His Cascom is plugged in and charging, while it also actively projects 5 screens up, 2 with his co-workers, and 3 with their project all laid out as they shuffle ideas around trying to cover the sudden gaping hole in his upcoming show. A silkworm blight could not have come at a worse time. Okay, it would have been worse in spring, but it certainly doesn't feel like it right now. Joe shoves a stack of invoices into a bin to free up some more desk space as he goes, then scrabbles for the three sketchbooks he knows are stacked under his watercolor palette. No, I still have a few ideas that I originally rejected, but I think we'd only have time to whip up mock-ups for, like, maybe four of them. The rest are far too complicated, Joe explains, finally getting his hands on the first of the sketchbooks. Okay, but keep in mind we still have Deli to loop in when they wake up. If I portkey to them, I think we could, together, manage at least one more complex design, Tokyo asserts firmly. Joe pauses to do some quick math in his head and thinks that maybe she's right, but they'll have to wait for Deli to offer her own opinion. I've got a favor to call in with L.A. She would lend me a few of her seamstresses, if I was willing to come out to the West Coast for it, NYC offers. That's a last resort, Sydney retorts. L.A. would never let us live it down. Joe goes back to flipping through his sketchbook, and suddenly there's a steaming mug of coffee being set down gently on the desk. A heavenly sight on this long, unending night. Nikki, what are you still doing awake? Joe asks, looking over and finding his fiancée standing there, a plate in his other hand with two slices of cheese toast on it, also still hot and fresh from the oven. I got up for water, Nikki answers. And yeah, Joe can clearly see his love has got a riot of bedhead going on and looks a little bleary around the edges. And heard you in here. I thought you could use a pick-me-up. Joe, honest to magic, feels his eyes sting just a little bit. Nikki sets the plate down on a clear spot of the desk, and Joe takes the opportunity to steal a kiss from his sleepy fiancée and thanks. You are the best person ever, and I love you. Nikki just chuckles, presses his own kiss against Joe's temple, and gives him a half-hug by squeezing Joe's shoulders with his free hand. I love you, too. I'm going to clean up and go back to bed. Please don't forget to sleep at some point. Joe makes a sound of affirmation and sticks one of the pieces of toast into his mouth before going back to flipping through his sketchbook. He glances up because his crew has fallen completely silent, which is strange. He finds that they're all staring at him, various fond looks on their faces. He takes a bite, chews, and then says, "What?" When are you going to marry that boy? NYC drawls. Because if you don't, I'm stealing him. Hey, Joe snaps. We're engaged. No poaching. You've been engaged for a year, Sydney exclaims. I know you wanted a long engagement, but sheesh. There's a lot to plan, Joe defends. If a man brought me cheesy toast at 1 a.m., I'd be marching him to the courthouse that morning as soon as the sun was up, Tokyo says. It's 3 a.m. here. That makes it worse, Yusuf, not better. Can we focus? Joe begs, taking another bite of his very delicious toast. We absolutely can, but I need to renew my translation charm, Tokyo admits. Can you all give me a few minutes? Nah, go ahead. I need a break anyways. I'm suddenly hungry, NYC announces, winking at Joe. Okay, meet back in 10, Joe says, and they all nod. He waves his wand, and the CASCOM switches the call to pause. Joe makes sure the sound and camera are definitely turned off. He's only made that mistake once, and it was memorable enough to make a very, very definitive impression. Poor Sydney. He doesn't think the man has forgiven him and Nikki for that yet. Joe crunches his way through both pieces of toast and gulps down half the coffee, which, thanks to Nikki's magic, is just the right temperature. He finds the sketches he was looking for and leaves the books propped open to the pages for when the meeting starts back up. In the meantime, he takes his plate back into the kitchen. Nikki is just finishing up the dishes. Well, his magic is. The man himself is packing his own lunch bag for later in the morning. Joe sets his plate in the already-in-progress cleaning charm and then shuffles over to stand behind Nikki to hug him tight. Thank you, Joe says. You're welcome, amore. Are you finished? Joe just shakes his head and sighs. We're just taking a quick break. Don't stay up too much longer. I won't. Nikki hums a skeptical sound, and yeah, that's fair, Joe thinks. His all-night sessions with his team are well known at this point. Will you run away with me? Joe asks. Nikki huffs a laugh. Right now? In the morning. Let's just go down to the courts and apply for the license. I want to elope. Nikki pauses what he's doing and puts his hands over Joe's where they're pressed against Nikki's chest. Do you want to elope because you want to be married? Or do you want to elope because you suddenly don't want a wedding? I want to be married to you. Right now. As soon as possible. Let's go do it. Nikki is quiet for a moment. He's staring at his basil plant on the windowsill. Nikki had to bring it in last night because the garden gnomes have developed a love for it and keep trying to devour the whole thing. There's a little orange clay cat peeking out from behind the leaves. What are you afraid of? Nikki asks, startling Joe. Afraid? Joe repeats dumbly. Nikki doesn't reply, just waits. Joe shifts back and forth a little, swaying them both from side to side. He thinks about it for a moment. It's just, people tell me all the time that I need to lock you down quick. You're so good to me. You're my favorite person on this planet, and that just makes me want to be yours as much as possible, as fast as possible. I'm a little afraid of you getting away. Nikki tightens his hands on Joe's, pressing down to the point where Joe wonders if they're giving Nikki bruises. You don't need to lock me down, Nikki says quietly. I know that you're getting pressure from people because our engagement is already a long one. But you don't need to tie me down, chase me, entreat me, or rush to catch me. I'm yours, Yusuf. I'm yours today, tomorrow, and still, even in 1,000 years. If we marry in the morning, or whenever, or even never, I'm already yours. You are it for me, my love. Making our promises to each other in front of our friends and family is wonderful, and I'm looking forward to it, but it's extra. I've already made my promises to you, and they are promises that I will always keep. Joe drops his face down to his fiancée's shoulder and tries not to burst from the happiness in his heart. He's successful, but only because he turns Nikki around and kisses the man to distract himself. 3. The third time Joe asks Nikki to run away with him, it's summer again, and they're taking a week in Tunisia to look at venues. They need something fairly large, which unfortunately strikes all options in Joe's hometown from the running. So they've been trotting dutifully after their wedding planner as they zigzag, hop, and pop all around the country. At present, they're looking at a location in Carthage, a stunning villa with lovingly restored tile work, stone carvings, and gardens. It's well hidden from non-magical eyes, disguised as just another set of ruins overlooking the crystal-clear blue waters of the Mediterranean. The wedding planner is in the middle of speaking with the venue owner about the kitchen when Joe notices that they've lost Nikki. The planner and the owner seem content in their own deep discussions, so Joe quietly slips away, going in search of his fiancée. He doesn't have to go far. One of the hallways is lined along one side with sets of slim double doors, each opening out onto a large patio with a sweeping view of the sea. Nikki stands, leaning a little against the stone railing, staring out at the crashing shore, watching the boats sail by. The breeze is fresh and salty, teasing Nikki's off-season long hair so that it flutters around his face. His love is dressed in a wrinkled linen shirt that Joe is pretty sure is actually his, and faded jeans, a pair of sunglasses hiding eyes that are as blue as the water he's watching. Did you get bored? Joe asks, chuckling as he walks over to join Nikki at the railing. They started talking about the size of the freezers, and I didn't think I was needed for that part of the conversation, Nikki replies. Besides, this view needed to be appreciated. It is amazing, Joe agrees, pressing his shoulder to Nikki's. They both watch the sea together for a long moment. Will you run away with me? Joe asks, soft and teasing. Nikki glances at him, letting his sunglasses slip down his nose a little so he can stare at Joe over top of them. and ditch all our hard work. Joe waves a magnanimous hand in dismissal. We could write this off as a strange tour of Tunis. It's a Tuesday. The courthouses are open. We could be married by dinner.
Tempting.
But we could never face down your mother. We'd have to really go on the run. I'm prepared to meet that fate, if you are, Joe says gravely, but unable to suppress his grin. I absolutely am not. Your mother is scary. Joe can't hold back his mirth anymore at that solemn pronouncement and leans more heavily against his fiancée as he laughs. Nikki raises his arm and wraps it around Joe's shoulders, tucking them in close to one another as they laugh together. She'd kill us, Joe admits. Yes, she would. And your sisters would help. Baba would mourn us. As morons, perhaps, Nikki retorts, making Joe dissolve into giggles all over again. They watch the sea together for a few minutes more, pressed close. Nikki hums something faint and sweet and slow, a song that Joe thinks he knows but can't place. I'm sorry that this is so much work, Joe says quietly. I'm not. Sometimes good things, the best things, are hard work. Joe can't exactly argue with that, so he leaves it and trusts his love to know his own mind. What do you think of the place, then?
It's beautiful.
Granted. But do you want to get married here?
It meets most of our needs, but...
Nikki trails off, turning to face Joe.
But?
I'm not sure this patio is suited for dancing. Joe glances around. The wedding planner and owner had both picked this spot out for the potential dance floor. It was big enough and had a raised spot off to one side that would be perfect for a DJ. He honestly doesn't see anything to contradict the recommendation, but perhaps Nikki sees something wrong. Joe looks back over at the man to ask and finds Nikki standing there, hand held out, a teasing smile on his face.
I think we should test it, just to be sure, Nikki says.
Joe is absolutely helpless when Nikki looks at him like that, so he puts his hand in Nikki's and lets him draw Joe close. Their first few steps, a simple 1, 2, 3, are accompanied only by the sound of the sea crashing on the shore. But just as Nikki spins him slowly around, Joe feels the familiar comforting sweep of Nikki's magic rise in the air, and he hears the faint sounds of violin strings pick up the melody that Nikki was humming before. Nikki spins Joe and then lets Joe take the lead. By the time that a woman's voice stirs in the air,
so this is love.
Joe has found his feet and the rhythm and joy to try a few trickier steps, confident enough to spin Nikki out and then right back to where he belongs in Joe's arms. As the short song comes to its glowing, adoring close, the two of them are smiling stupidly at each other. Nikki dips Joe, and Joe relaxes into his hold, completely at ease. Four. The fourth time Joe asks Nikki to run away with him, they're 6 months away from the big day.
I have to go. Just make sure the orders for the fabric are confirmed, Aisha. Please don't make me ask again.
You have to confirm the color, Yusuf. I am happy to chase down the supplier, but if you don't tell me the swatches are okay, I don't know what you think
I confirmed the colors last week.
Joe has to hold his temper in check because he really, really wants to shout at his sister, and that would be a terrible idea with them both stressed and in foul moods.
You confirmed the blue. I need you to confirm the lilac.
Joe is going to scream. We are not doing the lilac.
How many times do I have to tell you this? We axed the lilac last month.
But it was my favorite.
And it washes Eliza out completely. I know it was your favorite, and I'm sorry, but we're doing the darker purple, and that's final. By all the magic, Aisha, I have to go. I'm hanging up.
Oh, sure. Like hanging up is going to solve anything. You can't win an argument with me just by leaving the conversation.
I'm not trying to win an argument because this
isn't an argument. I'm telling you, no lilac. Order the mauve. Then confirm the order for the blue crepe.
Look, we don't have to go as light as lilac. I'm open to doing more of a, like, lavender. Or if you wanted more blue, we could do periwinkle.
I have to go, Aisha. Please, please just confirm the orders. We can circle back to...
What is so important that you have to leave right now? Aisha demands.
I'm on my break right now, Yusuf. I won't have time later today, and I need you to focus so whatever it is can wait.
I need to go because Nikki is presently throwing up in our bathroom, Aisha.
I need to go take care of him.
Is that okay with you?
Do you mind if I go make sure I'm going to have a man to marry at this wedding?
Yeah?
Good. Okay. Great talk. Goodbye.
Joe doesn't wait for anything else. He just slices through the air emphatically with his wand and his sister's face vanishes. The silence that follows is fucking golden. Sadly, however, it's broken by the awful sound of painful retching from the bathroom, followed by several weak coughs. His Cascom lights up with a message from Aisha, but Joe doesn't even look at it. She can wait. All of it can fucking wait.
Joe pushes open the door and Nikki is sitting on the floor, still hunched over the toilet. He's managed to mostly get out of his sweaty clothes and gear, sitting miserably in just his boxers and t-shirt. His gear is still all piled up next to him, however. Joe flicks his wand and shoos it out of the bathroom to give Nikki more room. Ragnetto, who has shrunk down to nearly his original size in an effort to squeeze through, immediately scuttles forward, clicking across the tile and over to Nikki's side. The little curling spider toy offers a sad chitter and tries to cuddle close against Nikki's leg.
Nikki is either too exhausted or afraid of another passive nausea to speak to the little fluffy spider, so he just drops one of his hands to pat Netto on the back.
Joe gets a washcloth from under the sink and wets it with cold water. Then he kneels down and drapes it over the back of Nikki's neck. The man shudders, but something in his shoulders seems to ease a little, so Joe counts it as a win. Down on the floor, Joe goes back to rummaging under the sink, digging around past all his various cosmetics to the little box of potions that they usually keep in the back.
"She's going to be pissed you hung up on her."
Nikki's voice is nothing but a harsh rasp. He spits into the toilet and then drops his forehead to rest on his own arm. He looks pale and utterly spent. Whatever this stomach bug is, it has hit him hard. "She'll get over it, or I'll put her in coral at the wedding." Nikki laughs, but then groans and coughs weakly a few times. Joe rattles through the potions as quickly as he can, looking for the stomach soother. Finally, the last bottle, of course, is what he's looking for. He gives it a shake and relaxes when he hears that it's mostly full.
"Do you think you can keep this down?"
Nikki ruefully shakes his head.
"Not yet. Maybe in a few more minutes. The room is still spinning too much."
"Okay," Joe acknowledges. He sets the bottle down on the sink, then gets himself back up. Joe leans out of the bathroom and points his wand to the empty glass on Nikki's nightstand, wordlessly summoning it across the room to his hand. Joe fills it at the tap and then drops back down to the floor to hand it to Nikki. "Here, rinse out your mouth at least. The acid isn't good for your teeth." Nikki grimaces, but does as told, knocking back a big mouthful, swishing it a couple of times, and then spitting it into the toilet. Joe takes the glass back and puts it on the counter as well, then settles down next to his fiancée on the floor.
"You don't have to wait with me."
"Shush," Joe just says. He scoops Netto up and pulls the little plush spider over into his lap, trying to soothe the worried chitters he keeps giving off as he eyes Nikki's exhausted form.
"He's going to be okay, Netto," Joe continues, speaking to the spider this time. "He's just a little sick. We're going to give him some medicine and then get him into bed and make him some soup."
Nikki gives them both a weak smile.
"You can help him make the soup, Netto. I'm counting on you to make sure he doesn't burn anything."
Netto salutes Nikki solemnly, while Joe squawks in fake protest. Nikki somehow goes even paler all of a sudden and turns to dry heave over the toilet a few times, the gasping, choked-off breath stabbing Joe through the heart each time. He can't help the hand he reaches out to rest against Nikki's back. The other man remains bent over a few more seconds before slowly uncoiling. His hands shake a little, but he resolutely closes the toilet lid, flushes it, and then shuffles back a little so he can lean against the wall next to Joe.
"I hate being sick," Nikki whispers, like it's a secret.
"I'm just glad that you have progressed to admitting that you're sick."
"I felt fine this morning."
"Whatever you say, darling."
"It came over me suddenly on my way home."
"Uh-huh."
"I was lucky to get to the bathroom in time. It was a total surprise."
"Sure, Nikki."
"I feel like garbage."
"Acceptance is the first step towards healing."
"Give me the potion, please, Joe."
Joe, for all his teasing, is instantly responding to the request, snatching up the stomach soother and handing it over to his fiancée. Nikki pours a dose into the cap of the bottle and quickly downs it. There's a tense pause while Nikki keeps his eyes closed and stays very still, waiting to see if he gets sick again. Thankfully, the worst seems to have passed. Nikki recaps the bottle and then just gratefully slumps against Joe's side. Joe picks up his arm and lets Nikki lean against him more fully. The washcloth on his neck is wet against his bicep, but Joe doesn't care in the least. He presses his lips against Nikki's sweaty forehead and just holds him close. Neto slides from his lap into Nikki's to be cradled close.
"Will you run away with me?" Joe asks, pressing the question into Nikki's skin.
"Now? Joe, I'm a mess."
"A mess I'd like to marry." Nikki snorts.
"You're only asking because you can't figure out how to make Aisha wear mauve."
"I do not understand the vendetta she has against a color."
"You hate butter yellow."
"That's different. It's a weird color. Too weak to pop. Too yellow to be soothing. It's terrible," Joe defends.
Nikki sighs and tries to burrow closer.
"Is that a no, then?" Joe asks.
"Ask me again when I can stand on my own,"
Nikki hedges.
"I knew I'd wear you down eventually."
"Whatever you say, darling,"
Nikki snipes back, using the same tone Joe did.
"You're able to sass me again. You're nearly back to normal, then."
Nikki just huffs a weak laugh against Joe's chest.
"Take me to bed, my husband-to-be."
Joe rolls over onto his knees, then gets his feet up underneath him. He moves his free hand under Nikki's knees and picks the other man up. He's light. Too light, which means Nikki's helping with his magic, but Joe won't complain because it just means he can get his love comfortable faster. He settles Nikki in their bed, pulling the covers up around him and making sure Neto is happy where he is, still chittering soothing sounds against Nikki's chest. Joe moves to make sure the bathroom is cleaned up, but before he can go, Nikki has picked up one of his hands. He lifts it and then holds it up against his own face. Joe cups Nikki's cheek, answering the wordless request for comfort without a thought.
"If you still want to, I'll run away with you tomorrow," Nikki says quietly.
Joe looks at him, surprised, and then casts a glance over at the three cork boards he has up on their bedroom wall. It's filled and overflowing with notes, pictures, invoices, reminders, and contact information. A third of it is charmed, which means some of the bits and pieces are shaking or flashing different colors.
"I know you're tired," Nikki continues, watching Joe look at the board. "And if you really do want to be done with it all, I'll go with you to the courthouse first thing in the morning."
Joe finds that his eyes are suddenly stinging as he tries to push back the tears that are welling up. He is tired. He's so tired. He looks at the board and he doesn't see all his dreams coming true, which is what it represented when he first put it up. Instead, he just sees a huge, long list of things that he still has to do. A huge, long list of things that he has to get perfect.
"You do that? Really?" Joe asks, his voice breaking halfway through.
Nikki presses Joe's hand more firmly to his cheek. Joe looks over at him.
I'd do anything for you, Nicky replies simply. And if you don't need it, then I don't either. I'll marry you any way you want.
Joe doesn't know what he did to deserve this man. He's not even really sure he does deserve the devotion and love that Nicky lays upon his heart every moment of every day. But by the stars above and the stones below, he promises once more to love him back just as much every moment of every day.
I don't need any of it, Joe admits. But I still want it. I want it all. Because it's like you said back at the start of all this. You and I are worth it. What we have is worth celebrating.
Okay, then, Nicky replies. I guess the wedding is back on.
Joe laughs and then groans. Ugh, I have to call Aisha back. He glances over at his abandoned Cascom, which still has a preview of Aisha's message on the screen. Astoundingly, the message is just as simple. I'm sorry. Underneath that is another one that says, Tell Nicky I hope he feels better. I confirm the fabric orders, the mauve and the blue. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Joe feels a whole lot of tension in his back and shoulders just suddenly uncoil.
He slumps forward a little, dropping his hand from Nicky's face and taking a second to finally relax. He waves his wand towards the board and it closes itself up on the wall, two of the three corkboards swinging in to cover the central one like cabinet doors. It goes still and quiet. No flashing lights or shimmying notes.
I'm absolutely done for the day. How do you feel about soup for dinner and a movie? Joe asks his fiancée.
Nicky smiles at him and picks up a still slightly shaking hand to pet Netto.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. You rest. I'll get the soup going. Netto, you're in charge.
Oh, no. Netto is going with you. You'll burn down the kitchen if left unsupervised.
Yeah, that's not happening. If I leave you unsupervised, you're going to try and get up to go clean the bathroom or take a shower or, I don't even know, do push-ups.
Netto looks back and forth between the two of them as they argue, his eight little eyes following along like it's a tennis match.
You forget the hob is on. You'll burn the onions.
Onions? Nicky, you're nauseous. I'm just making you some broth to start. So all I'm doing is heating up some vegetable stock. Even I can't mess that up.
Never say never.
Ouch. But you can't distract me. I can already see your gear folding up in the corner.
Nicky, quit it. You need to rest.
Netto, work with me here.
Netto seems to come to a decision. And for once, Joe is delighted to find it's in his favor. Because the little spider suddenly rapidly grows into his larger shape and then fully flattens himself on Nicky's chest. The man gives a surprised little oof and has to recline against the bed completely. He's so startled, or Netto is drawing on Nicky's magic himself so much, that the Quidditch gear in the corner goes still.
Good boy, Netto. You hold him down. I'll get the soup started. You just call if he starts putting up a fight.
Netto gives Joe a chittering sound of agreement, while Joe waves cheerfully at the protesting Nicky.
Traitor, Nicky accuses the not-so-little spider.
Joe laughs all the way down the stairs. 5. The fifth time Joe asks Nicky to run away with him, it's the night before they're due to be married. Joe, anxious and unable to sleep, decides to creep down into his parents' kitchen in search of a glass of water. But when he tries the door to his childhood bedroom, he's shocked to find it warded with some kind of locking spell that mildly zaps him when he touches the handle. It takes several minutes for him to get the warding down, but when he does and finally opens the door, Zara is just standing there in the hallway. She's clearly annoyed and fresh from her own bed, with her hair up in a silk wrap and a hydrating overnight mask on her face, as well as an impatient scowl. He tries to ease past her with his excuse of wanting water, but she simply summons a glass of water for him, one that was clearly from someone's hand because it's half drunk already. She wordlessly shoves the glass into his hands and then shoves him back into the room. The wards go back up before he can even get turned around.
Okay. So maybe he shouldn't have made so many jokes about sneaking into Nicky's room.
Still, he's thirsty, so he drinks the water despite its unknown origins and climbs back into bed. He really doesn't expect to sleep at this point, so instead he stares at the ceiling and thinks about tomorrow. The florist called and confirmed the times again, so that should be fine. Ibrahim had somehow ripped his pants during the last fitting, but the tailor swore up, down, and sideways that he would have them fixed and delivered first thing in the morning. There's still the question about the DJ, but... A sudden tap catches Joe's ear. He sits up and looks around, but can't see anything. The noise comes again, so very quiet. Tap. Joe looks over at the window and sees that there's some kind of shadow passing in front of the glass. He hurries over and wrenches the curtains apart. There, flying on his broom, is his fiancée. Joe gapes at the sight for a long pause before he whirls around and hastily casts a silencing charm at the door just in case. He would not put it past Zara to have some kind of monitoring up. That done, he quickly opens the window to greet his husband-to-be. "What the hell are you doing? You're going to get me in so much trouble," Joe hisses, trying to keep his voice down but not quite managing a whisper. The air is fresh and crisp under the moonlight, and there's a warm, dry breeze coming in from the desert. The moon hangs overhead, full and welcoming, and as always, she paints Nikki so lovingly with her light. "I wanted my goodnight kiss," Nikki says, unrepentant. "I didn't even see you pack your broom," Joe says, laughing now, because only his Nicola would insist on bringing along his faithful broom to their destination wedding. "I may have been planning this surprise for a while," Nikki shares with him. "I know that tradition is important, but it's before midnight, so I don't think I'm breaking any rules just yet, and you know I cannot sleep without you, Hayati." Joe tries very, very hard not to melt, but there's just no way. He would challenge any of his sisters or his mother to remain strong up against Nikki's pleading eyes right now. There's not an Al-Khazani alive that can say no to Nikki. "Then come here quick, Ya Amar," Joe says, "before they hear us and come in with wands drawn." Nikki guides his broom in close, and Joe leans out to loop an arm around his flying beloved. The kiss isn't their best, but it will remain one of Joe's favorites for the rest of his life. When their lips part, Joe keeps a tight hold on Nikki, almost pulling him into his room with him, but Nikki manages to resist. He chuckles right in Joe's ear, making him shudder and shake. "You have to let me go, amore." "No." "What happened to getting caught?" "Doesn't matter. You'll protect me. I don't want to sleep without you either. It's a stupid tradition." "That's not what you were saying yesterday," Nikki teases, peppering kisses along Joe's cheek just because Joe is close enough to keep kissing. "Well, I'm saying it now. In fact, this is all ridiculous. Will you run away with me?" "Oh, Yusuf, this is so sudden. Whatever will your parents think?" Nikki gasps in fake surprise. "I'm serious. Pull me on your broom and let's go." "No." "Come on. I'll make it worth your while." Joe pulls Nikki back in for another kiss, and they hang half suspended in the summer evening, the kind light of the moon, their only witness. "I'm a promised man, Habibi," Nikki answers when Joe lets him up to breathe. "Yes, you are, promised to me," Joe growls, and tugs Nikki back in for another heady kiss. Nikki softens the kiss, pressing in close to Joe on his broom, so Joe has to pull back into their room and not be half out the window anymore. This time, when Nikki breaks their kiss, he tilts his broom down and drops away from Joe. "I am," Nikki replies, breathless and flushed. Joe stares at his lips, red and wet, shining in the moonlight. "I am promised to you, and we get to make those promises all over again tomorrow, in front of our friends and family." Joe reaches weakly for him, but knows Nikki won't fly close again. He can read his beloved and can see that he's determined to do this right, to give Joe the wedding he's dreamed of since he was 4. Resigned, but still so incredibly happy, Joe drops to sit on the window seat and rests his crossed arms on the sill. "I love you," is all he says, because it's all that he can think to say in this moment. one of the absolutely true things that lies at the center of him. Nicky drifts closer, still out of reach, but close enough that Joe can see the freckles on his nose.
I love you too, husband.
Joe chuckles. Not yet. Tomorrow. Yes, Nicky agrees, smiling at him.
Tomorrow.
Plus one. The first time Nicky asked Joe to run away with him, they'd been married for 7 years. Joe is mostly asleep, which is frankly fantastic. And as much as he loves and adores his husband, and as much as he'd like to be interested in the gentle path of kisses that Nicky is placing up his spine, he really, really wants to keep sleeping. Joe says, clearly indicating his desires. Nicky just laughs in his ear. Joe turns away, searching blindly for a pillow to hide under, but Nicky, the fiend, seems to have pushed them all out of reach.
Wake up, beloved. Come on, darling.
You don't mean that, amore.
I made you breakfast. Belgian waffles, eggs, hash browns. I even got that raspberry jam you love for your toast.
That gives Joe pause. That jam is only sold at this one farmer's market in Como, which means that Nicky either bribed Caldara or his husband snuck off to Italy when he wasn't looking. He cautiously cracks one eye to look at Nicky. The man himself is awake and clearly has been awake for a while. Not surprising. Joe had several late meetings last night, and Nicky got up with the kids to make sure they got off to school okay. But there's something... Joe pushes himself up and looks past Nicky to where there's a suitcase, packed and ready to go, sitting next to the wall on his side of the bed.
What?
Joe asks intelligently. Nicky, still sitting serenely on the bed next to Joe's hip, runs a soothing hand down Joe's back.
Joe, will you run away with me?
Joe twists to look at Nicky, incredulous.
What?
He stutters again.
Your father is picking the kids up from school and taking them back to their house for the weekend. I'm really proud of them for keeping the secret all week, actually. Neto has been put in charge of the house. Our portkey leaves in 3 hours.
Joe rolls over to sit up properly. He knuckles the last of the sleep from his eyes and finally fully focuses on what Nicky is saying.
We're running away together?
If you want to.
The kids are taken care of.
Yes.
What about work?
Caitlin has cleared your meetings for the next 3 days. I'm off until Tuesday. The bags are packed with the clothes and things we need. I asked Aisha for what to pick for you. Breakfast is ready. The portkey is waiting.
Joe opens his mouth to say something, but finds that there really isn't anything he needs to say. The kids will be ecstatic to spend a weekend in Tunisia, and his parents are probably over the moon to have them. If Caitlin says she's cleared his schedule, then it absolutely has been done, and any ruffled feathers have been smoothed. He's between shoots, and his next show isn't for months. If Nicky says he's off until Tuesday, then Andy is somehow involved and has probably banished Nicky from the field and locker room.
He's running away with his husband. That actually sounds perfect.
Where are we going? Joe asks, a grin forming on his face as he grabs Nicky by the back of the neck and reels him in.
Does it matter?
Nicky asks in return, kissing the smile on his husband's face. Not in the least, Joe replies, falling back on the bed and dragging Nicky with him. As long as I'm with you, it doesn't matter where we go. Nicky just laughs and goes back to kissing him. I saw the sunset-colored sands, the Nile like flowing fire between, where Ramesses stares forth serene, and Ammon's heavy temple stands. I saw the rocks where long ago, above the sea that cries and breaks, bright Perseus with Medusa's snakes set free the maiden white like snow. And many skies have covered me, and many winds have blown me forth, and I have loved the green bright north, and I have loved the cold sweet sea. But what to me are north and south, and what the lure of many lands?
since you have leaned to catch my hands and lay a kiss upon my mouth. Sarah Teasdale, The Wanderer. The end.